This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
What's up, nerds? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Did the refs blow the game for the Giants? Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Trade deadline today. Time for the Eagles to move on from Carson Wentz. Do the Packers need to pick up a defensive player? Should the Bears bolster the offensive line? Be a part of the Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. And so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. We'll see how the Fansville's doing in Wisconsin today. College football's being rocked by COVID, of course. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here's some Straight Talk before we even get to the sports. Vote. Don't complain about how you don't like the way things are and then stay home today. Go vote. There's a movement underfoot to trick you into not voting today. Don't get suckered. Vote. By the way, a lot of the same forces that disenfranchised black people in the South during Reconstruction, where, you know, after black people were given the right to vote in this country, which wasn't always the case, white people in the South, many of them, did everything they could to purge voter rolls of black voters. So it went from the thousands in different southern states to virtually zero in some southern states. And they had all kinds of tricks, poll taxes and literacy tests, you know, coming out of slavery where it was illegal to be educated, literally against the law. Like reading was contraband. The ability to read was contraband for black people oftentimes. So there were all kinds of tricks, but it worked. And black people lost political power because they were purged from voter rolls. And the same movement is afoot today. And it is election day, my friends. The Michigan Department, and then I'm going to get to sports in a second. The Michigan Department of State, statement for the Secretary of State. They received reports of an unknown party with robocalls spreading misinformation to confuse voters, disinformation, so that you won't vote today. Michigan's a battleground state. Vote. All right, now, there's some breaking news before I can even get to Monday Night Football. Andy Dalton has tested positive for COVID. Of course, we wish, and by we, I mean anyone of goodwill, any non-malign actor, wishes Andy Dalton a speedy recovery from COVID. I hope the symptoms are mild and that he gets better soon. Of course, that's bad news for the Dallas Cowboys, although they ain't going anywhere this year, folks. This is really an Andy Dalton health story, not, oh my God, what are the Cowboys going to do? What are they doing now? Not doing anything now. With or without Dalton, and they weren't going to be doing anything with Dak Prescott either. Let's be honest, it's a bad team. They lost talent off the defense in the offseason. Their best corner bolted in free agency. One of their best linemen bolted in free agency. And their defense was nothing special. It wasn't good last year. And they lost talent off of it. It got worse. And the offensive line, which has been the key to their offense, low these many years, whatever you want to say about Dallas, they had an offense, is gone. You know, they had five guys. All five guys are Pro Bowl caliber. Their center's gone. Their tackles are hurt. You know, like their guards are gone. They're just gone. They're not the same offensive line. And so Zeke isn't the same. Bill Polian once told me, who built the Bills back in the day when they were great and built the Colts when they were great, great GM, once told me at ESPN, talking about Zeke, a running back makes the line. And I argued with him. I said, look, I'm not going to put my football knowledge up against yours, but no, a line makes the running back, if anything. He said, no, a running back makes the line. Well, if Bill Polian's right, then Ezekiel Elliott's really just not that good. At least not now. And he wasn't that great last year, to be honest. Cowboys are cooked. They should be sellers. They should get whatever they can for their talent, because they do have some talent on the team. They need to rebuild this thing. Meantime, the Giants. Look, Joe Judge seems to be doing a good job in the sense that the Giants compete hard. But this is, what, year three for Gettleman? Gettleman, the GM of the Giants. How many years does it take? In year three, we're supposed to have moral victory? We're supposed to feel good about the fact, yes, we're winless almost. We have one win in eight games. But we are competing hard. In year three? We're happy that we're losing almost every game tough? And that the quarterback that Gettleman reached for at six when he could have... There's a name for the Daniel Joneses of the world. I said draft time back then. Day two guy. You pick up Daniel Jones day two. Oh, look at this. Oh, he played for Duke. Huh? I didn't really see him. I didn't watch Duke play football. Who does? But apparently he's pretty good. Oh, okay. Or like they're planning for the future. That kind of guy. Not you have the sixth overall pick in the draft. Let's grab Daniel Jones because you think he's a good quarterback or however he says quarterback. By the way, am I imitating Gettleman's Boston accent, having a good time laughing at him? And am I then saying it in a New York accent and people are laughing at me? I don't know. Anyway, Daniel Jones. Oh, my God. Look, he's like Carson Wentz minus the arm talent. He's fast. Or maybe he's like Trubisky, basically. But at least the Giants didn't trade up for him. They may have reached for him at six. At least they didn't trade up for him, as the Bears did with Trubisky. Because Daniel Jones reminds me a lot of Trubisky. I think he's a little smarter than Trubisky, or at least he processes information quicker than Trubisky, it seems to me. But they're both really fast, and neither one of them seems to be able to throw the ball down the field consistently. That turnover, we're playing it on ESPN News, was awful. Why would you throw that ball? Eat it. Eat the sack. At that point, they got you. Eat it. What are you doing? Playing hero ball? Giants would have won that game if the quarterback just didn't play hero ball yesterday. Daniel Jones is not without talent, but let me ask you something. At this point, to me, it looks this way. If everything goes right for Daniel Jones, everything, maybe one day he could be an above-average quarterback. Really? I got to wait how many years for that? Because it ain't happening this year. Next year, maybe? The year after? I've got to wait 3 or 4 years for my quarterback to be above average if everything works out. He does not look like a great quarterback to me. He looks like maybe one day he has the talent to be above average. But having said that, where would you handicap that? Are the odds that over 50-50 that he'll be an above average quarterback? I do not think so. I see the reasons Gettleman liked him before the draft. He is not progressing at the rate he should be progressing. The Giants' O-line is still not good. It's better than it's been in recent years. The last two seasons, the Giants' O-line has seen some improvement. Saquon Barkley is not healthy, and that's not going to help a guy like Daniel Jones. Obviously, I'm not trying to hear that. Of course, any quarterback would be better if he had Saquon Barkley. At this point, we have to be honest about Daniel Jones. The odds are under 50-50 he winds up an above-average quarterback. But when you draft six, when you reach at six for a quarterback, and at best he's going to be above average, you messed up. You messed up. How about this? Try this one. How about a Hall of Fame quarterback? You draft six, and you hit on a quarterback, you got the Hall of Fame. You have a great quarterback. How about that, Giants? Gettleman reached and got this guy? By the way, I admit, Danny Dimes, I thought when he first started, I thought, ooh, look at this. And I thought he had a successful rookie campaign, considering his lack of experience, of course. But here we are in year two. This is supposed to be the development year. I see bad decisions and bad execution. He couldn't stop. Listen, he's not an accurate quarterback. He is capable of making nice, accurate throws, but he doesn't do it consistently. He consistently overthrows receivers. I mean, look, did the refs cost the Giants the game? The defender gets to Deion Lewis almost simultaneously with the pass. He doesn't turn his head. And I understand why that goes against you, even though, like, technically, Did the refs blow it? Yep, they got the call wrong. They got the call wrong. I don't think it was a particularly easy call. It wasn't the hardest call ever, but pretty clearly, like on replay, yeah, that was pass interference. They picked up the flag. The flag was down. They got the call right originally. They picked it up. I still don't say the refs cost them the game. By the way, even if they convert the two-point conversion, that's a tie game. You think the Giants are going to win the tie? Okay. A lot of things have to happen, don't they, for the Giants to be robbed in that game. No, they weren't robbed. But look, the refs got the call wrong. It is true they got it wrong. And especially once they put down, they throw down the flag, they shouldn't be picking it up when they got it right the first time. You can't say that cost the Giants the game. Why was that even close? That was a designed play. Daniel Jones was late with the pass. The ball was late. That's why there was even an issue. He's not accurate enough. He plays hero ball and gives the and turns over, you know, makes like stupid interceptions. How else can you put it? And this is year two. This is a development year. And this is the guy they reached for at six and staked the franchise on. When you draft a quarterback at six and you're staking the franchise. Is Daniel Jones a great quarterback? Does anyone out there, 888 say ESPN, think Daniel Jones is going to be a great quarterback? Because if not, how much developmental time do you put into a guy who's going to be at best above average? Under 50-50 chance he's above average. I think there's a greater than 50-50 chance that he's a below average starter. How many years do you spend on this now? Daniel Jones on his interceptions costing the team the game.
Do you feel like you cost the team the game tonight with those two picks?
Yeah, I think those were costly mistakes for us, and you know, something, you know, I have to continue to work on and improve, and you know, I understand that.
That was Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. If there was no compromise, Daniel Jones wouldn't have a contract after this rookie one lapses. That's some Straight Talk for you. Not with the Giants. The fact that a guy like Gettleman gets the job. And this is what my problem with the Giants. I don't mind a conservative franchise. A franchise steeped in tradition that is slow to change. And likes to do things the way they've always done it. I'm okay with that. As the Niners were reinventing football when I was a kid in the 80s, Bill Parcells and the Giants were doubling down on the way things had always been done. And the Niners' way was better than the Giants' way. That's why they won more. But the Giants' way was damn good, and I'll roll with that all day. Like, I have that traditionalist in me, especially with football. You know, Mike Tomlin, run the ball, stop the run, Steelers football. I love that with the Giants. LT, go kill the quarterback. Go get him. Arr, you know, offensive 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Okay, fine. Do things conservatively, but not reflexively conservatively. What do I mean by reflexively conservatively? Because simply, oh, this feels good. This feels like what I'm used to. No. Do it because you believe in it, because it's worked before, because you have evidence that it can work in the future. But just not like Gettleman clearly gave Giants ownership this sense that we're going to get back to the way things were. What kind of success did he really have in Carolina? And what has he done with the Giants? Don't tell me about this one or that one. He picked up a nice safety. Stop. This is year three. The Giants are 1-7. Period. Year three, they're 1-7. By the way, the NFL, you can turn it around in one season. But certainly by year three, you can't be 1-7. Out of the question. Out of the question. 1-7? Joe Judge has him playing hard, has him playing defense. Yes, he does. And good for him. And maybe they have a coach in Joe Judge going forward. It could be. But the GM is in year three. He reached for a quarterback at six. That quarterback is underperforming. And the team is 1-7. Period. Got to give Tom Brady credit. I said he's going to fall off a cliff. It didn't happen. And here's when I said fall off a cliff, I didn't mean, oh, he's going to be terrible. I meant he would be just a guy, a jag, just a guy. Is he getting too much credit? Yes, he is. In the sense that a lot of quarterbacks would be successful with this Bucs team to varying degrees. Some not as successful as Brady, but successful nonetheless. Others more successful than Brady. But he's not just a guy. He's better than that. He has 20 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. And I thought Jeff Saturday made a very good point on First Take. Given the circumstances of the season, with COVID and the practices and the games and, you know, being canceled and moved around and all this kind of stuff, the uncertainty of everything, the injuries the team has sustained, the fact that they are not only winning, but they're trending in the right direction. They're playing better as the year goes on. I think about the Packers game. Coming off that Chicago game where Brady chews out his O-line because they kept making mental errors. And then he makes a mental error at the end of the game. At the end of the game, losing track of downs, and then doesn't cop to it afterwards. Not even accountable for it afterwards. I thought, okay, I'll tell you one. I don't know if they're going to win or lose against the Packers. I thought the Packers beat them. But I knew one thing. That team wasn't going to make mental errors, not with Brady as the quarterback. He was going to make sure that that wasn't there. And sure enough, not only was that the case, they stomped on the Packers, who I thought should beat them, or would have. A lot of that's the defense. It's true. Brady deserves a lot of credit. And it's true they also barely beat the Giants. And if Daniel Jones is just okay yesterday, they lose to the Giants. But one thing about Brady, in the moment of truth, he doesn't always, but usually comes through. And I was talking about it yesterday. The Patriots are 2 plays away this year from the entire narrative, as everyone says, being totally different. Right now, the Patriots are a 2-win team. And the sky is falling, and it's a dumpster fire, and it's all because they lost Tom Brady, replaced him with Cam Newton, and Belichick's being exposed, and all this stuff. If Cam just punches it in, if Bobby Wagner doesn't make that play against Seattle, and Cam doesn't fumble the ball against the Bills, right now they're sitting at 4-3 with wins against the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Seahawks, and the Bills. Given all the mess that has happened, we're like, oh my God, what a job Cam and Belichick have done. Came down to 2 plays. 2. The difference between hero story and dumpster fire. But you get the feeling that if Tom Brady was on that team, they'd have made those 2 plays. 888-SAY-ESPN, Raphael, is that your name? Raphael in New York?
Yes, sir.
Raphael, I'm sorry. You know what it is? Dan Raphael, who spells the name Raphael. I'm so used to saying Raphael, it's ruined the name for me. Sorry, Raphael. Go ahead.
It's all right, Max. I just wanted to tell you, I just wanted to say that I love your show, love what you do. But Gettleman, no matter what he does with Daniel Jones, he's tied to him. And if he does anything to Daniel Jones, whether he lets him go, trades him, does anything, he most likely will lose his job. Because that is exactly what he sacrificed majority. And that's basically what he said. Like this.
What you're pointing out, this is a very good point, Raphael. What you're pointing out, the larger point here, is there are perverse incentives for GMs in the NFL. So if they stake their claim on a quarterback, instead of being able to reset the franchise in a better direction, they must sink. They must be the captain that sinks with the ship. They have to go down with the quarterback or they're fired. The way hiring and firing works in the NFL, there are perverse incentives for GMs to not always look out for the best interest of the team. I agree. I think that's happening now. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Raphael just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Who else we got here? Who are we getting to? Chris and Clifton, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Go ahead, Cliff.
Hey, Max. How you doing?
Chris. Go ahead. Go.
Hey,
go,
Max,
Chris.
Can you hear me?
I got you. Go.
How you doing, brother? Big fan of the show. What I wanted to say was I got a comment on talking about Daniel Jones, him being an average quarterback even in the future. Right now, I wouldn't even call him average right now. But if you look at the Giants, they do this.
No.
Was Phil Simms was never the best quarterback in the league.
No, he's
neither
above average, though.
Eli Manning.
But I understand what you mean. But Eli and Phil Simms frequently were league average quarterbacks who were big under pressure and therefore won Super Bowls, right? I get that. If you're banking on that for Daniel Jones, maybe he can be a league average quarterback who may one day come through under pressure. I don't think that's how you run your franchise. I think you look for more under center. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Chris just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call line. There's one more call I want to get to, guys. Go back to the calls. There's one more call I want to get to. Go back, Raj. No, he took them off so I wouldn't see them. I wanted to finish the segment on that call, but you ruined my plans, Raj. Unbelievable. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell V Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Trade deadline hits today. Pat's got something up their sleeves. Business has to be flexible this year, from working remotely to pivoting to business models for long-term survival. Like, for example, restaurants moving their dining outdoors and adding takeout. If you're in charge for hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging. Thankfully, there is one place that you can count on to make your job easier, to make hiring easier, and that's ZipRecruiter.com/Max. ZipRecruiter's technology finds the right people for your job and invites them to apply. It is no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Max. NFL trade deadline next. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. This is my favorite Al Kess song. ESPN apps, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Your smart speaker. Spotty, opi, dopey, blah, 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 what? Spotty, opi, dopey, delicious. This is a great song. Yeah. They name check Holyfield. I love it. By the way, I need to update the Andy Dalton story, apparently. Raj, I'm confused about what I'm hearing. What is the latest on Andy Dalton? Is he COVID positive, yes or no?
Well, the answer is no. We can't say he's COVID positive right now, but it is COVID related, and he's putting on the COVID list. So I'm just waiting on emails from the great Chuck, who sends us a great email.
But wait a minute. He's on the COVID list. What does that mean? The contact tracing means he might have it?
Here's what it says from the great Chuckster. It says, all right, we don't know if he's actually tested positive or if it's exposure to a high-risk person.
I see.
You know what I mean? So maybe someone, one of the quarterbacks, maybe it's a third string quarterback.
Who knows? I get tested every week for COVID because we go down to the seaport to do the shows, and so everyone has to get tested. And I got to tell you, at first, whenever you get a test, the confusing thing emotionally is when you see negative, because you learn that negative is what you want to see. But throughout most of your life, you're walking around like, oh, it's negative. I don't want it to be negative. I want it to be positive. No, not when it comes to a test result for a disease.
Yes.
I hope Andy Dalton doesn't have COVID, as so many millions of Americans have, and something like 100,000 a day are now getting. And just what a disastrous response by the federal government, both in terms of the example they set and the messages they've sent from the top levels of the executive branch. And ignorance, but like kind of willful contradiction of science. And apropos of nothing, vote today, folks, it's election day. Get out there and vote. A lot of the same forces that have been trying to suppress the vote for centuries now, literally, tried to keep black people from exercising political power in the South by knocking them off voter rolls for a variety of ridiculous reasons. Our, you know, robocalls are being made in swing states like Michigan. Hey, and trying to confuse people that their vote won't count or they shouldn't vote. Michigan, and that's not the only place where those kind of dirty tricks are going on. Michigan Department of State, Secretary of State, Michigan, Jocelyn Benson, had to correct misinformation being shared in Flint, Michigan, saying, hey, no, everyone, don't believe these messages. Go out and vote. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So we're keeping an eye on the NFL trade deadline. What moves, you know, you want to see the contenders make? I'd like to see, Stephen A. was arguing the Packers should pick up a defensive player. For sure. Packers should pick up a defensive, I don't remember, wait, was he arguing for the offense or the defense? He thought they needed to make a move. And sure, I think the Packers could use a defensive piece. And that's easier to integrate than like an offensive lineman, for example, right? Where the offensive line's based on chemistry and all this. But the Chicago Bears offensive line has been bad. And in fact, the NFC North, yes, the Packers need to make a move. I wouldn't give up on the Bears season if I were the Bears. They're 5-3. They've beaten the Bucks. Nick Foles really just got there. And they don't have an offensive line. I don't know. By the way, they narrowly lost to the Saints. I think the Bears should make a move. See if there's an offensive lineman or two they can plug in. How much worse can it get? Meantime, are the Patriots breaking it up? Well, you heard from Belichick just now, right? He says it's nobody's fault. It's just there's not a lot of money. Look, we won three Super Bowls. We made another Super Bowl. We made an AFC Championship game. Now it's time to pay the piper. But this is the way it works in the NFL. You ever hear of someone restructuring their contract and it helps the salary cap? Why would a quarterback do that? Why would a player restructure their contract? You think it's to give up money? No, it's to get more money. What they do, it's a Jerry Jones trick. Jerry Jones ushered in the salary cap. He led the charge for it. And as soon as he got it in there, he signed Deion Sanders. And all the other owners said, wait a minute, you just installed the salary cap. What happened? He said, no. See this bonus I'm giving him? It's prorated over the next 10 years. So the hit to the cap in any one year is only like $1 million, you know. There are all kinds of tricks you can do with the cap. And usually when they restructure a quarterback's deal or a player's deal, what they've done is they've deferred paying money to a later date. They've prorated it over more years. But they kept kicking the can down the road with Brady's contracts. And at the end, I think Belichick thought, oh, wait a minute, we can get out of this without paying Brady. We may have to get out a year or two early, but that's okay because we have Garoppolo. We won't miss a beat. We'll have continuity. I'll have the cap under control. We'll have excellence going forward year in and year out. Maybe not three Super Bowls in 4 years, championships in 4 years, but we'll be really good. We'll be really competitive year in and year out. And it involved moving on from Brady. Brady got wind of this, went to Robert Kraft, the owner, said, look what this guy's trying to do. Ship me out of here. Robert Kraft told Belichick, you got to move Garoppolo, not Brady. Belichick got a second-round pick for Garoppolo. But in losing Brady, they took a $13.5 million cap hit. Dead money. That's what Belichick, I think, was trying to avoid. That's what he's saying when he's like, we didn't have any money. It's nobody's fault. What's he going to point to the owner? Say, hey, my boss put the handcuffs on me in a way. By the way, and his boss may have been right. Kraft may have been right. Let's say you move on from Brady to Garoppolo, as I thought they should have done. But in the last 3 or 4 years, instead of going to three Super Bowls and winning two, you go to, oh, how many was it that they won? Hold on a second. There's so many. You lose track. Yeah, they went to 3 and 1-2. Instead of that, you know, over the next 10 years, you go to 3 and win 2. But you're excellent every year. You don't have any years like this so far. What's better? I actually think maybe a concentrated dominance like this with a fallow period, with a little dip for a year or two, if you can get back to this, is better than just kind of being competitive but not as dominant as this Patriots team has been. So, like, who's to say who was right or wrong? But the fact of the matter is, that's what happened. To keep it going, as Brady wanted it to, as Kraft wanted it to, you had to mortgage the future a little bit. You had to spend to do it now. Eventually, you're going to have to pay the piper, and that's what happened when Brady went to the Bucks. It killed the Patriots' cap to the tune of $13.5 million. And so they had to figure out how to make it all work. When Belichick says it's not an excuse, it's an explanation, and it's no one's fault, it's just how it was, He's saying what he can say without throwing Kraft under the bus. You know, if you consider winning 2 out of 3 Super Bowls under the bus, going to 3 out of 4, you know, like, you may be actually pointing out that Kraft was right and you were wrong. But at any rate, he disagreed with Kraft, but he can't come out and say that now. ESPN 888-729-3776. Rick in West Palm Beach, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how you doing today?
Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, you know, you look at what Cam's doing with the Patriots this year, 2-5, terrible. I don't know if Brady's there, if they're going to do much better. Brady had nobody to work with last year. I think there's less this year. And
agreed.
Cam's legs have actually got them out of some trouble this year where I don't know if Brady could have done that.
Let me say something about Brady. Let me say something about Brady. I talked about this with about movie stars the other day. You know what movie stars do, the A-list stars? They only work with the best writers, the best directors. They choose their projects very carefully. And so whether it's, you know, whoever it is, who's like the big star now that gets people in the movie theaters? You know, whatever big star, when I was a kid, like Arnold Schwarzenegger could get you in the movie theater. Michael B. Jordan now, whoever it is. Is it because they're such great actors, or is it because they're charismatic types who have some box office appeal and have used that to maneuver in such a way that since they're only in the biggest projects and the best quality films, their brand is such that when you see them, you go, oh, last time I went to the movies, last time I saw a movie, he was in it and I liked it. Every time that guy's in a movie, I like it, as a matter of fact. Their brand becomes strong. It's not that they're such a much better actor than someone else or more charismatic than someone else or the next guy. It's that they've maneuvered with the success they've had in such a way that their brand is very strong. And then they really do have box office clout because you're like, oh, they're in a movie. It must be good. Last three ones I saw were really quality. I bet you it's good too. That's what Brady's done. He's branded himself extremely well. It's not that he's not, it's not also De Niro's not the greatest actor. He is, right? It's not that Brady's not a great player. He is. He's the GOAT. But he's also branded himself very well. You're right. The Patriots would be struggling with almost any quarterback right now. But if you notice, Brady's not around for the struggle. The Bucs would be good with a whole bunch of quarterbacks right now. And if you notice, Brady's one of them. In fact, he's the only one. That's good branding on Brady's part. And by the way, we don't live in a parallel universe. We have no kind of, we don't have any other example of another quarterback other than Jameis, who always turned the ball over, how they would do, or how someone else would do with the Patriots right now. This is the universe we live in. These are the examples we have. So Brady's branding becomes part of his legacy. The fact of the matter is he left the Patriots. They stunk. He went to the Bucs. They were great. It's smart. Some NFL trades you want to see? 888-SAY-ESPN. Ask Max is next. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. Ask Max, coming up. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Keyshawn Johnson coming up in the next hour. Want to see if he's ready to give up on Cam? You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Starting Monday, you can stream the Max Kellerman Show daily on ESPN+. With ESPN+, you can stream the Dan Lebatard Show with Stu Gatz, Greeny, and Shanae and Golic Jr. You also get live sports, exclusive originals, and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. As always, you can hear us on ESPN Radio across the country, all across the country. By the way, ESPN Plus is a great deal. I remember when ESPN Insider, I used to pay for ESPN Insider. They basically turned that into Plus and gave you, like, pay-per-view quality boxing on it and stuff. It's amazing. Before we get to the imaging, I want to tell everyone quickly. If you live in Michigan, Iowa, Kansas, or Nebraska, and you're getting robocalls today saying, stay safe, stay home, don't go out and vote, or else due to long lines, you should vote tomorrow. They're trying to trick you into not voting. Don't let them do it. There's no voting tomorrow. Vote today if you haven't already. go out and vote. ESPN radio stations all over the country, of course, get the Max Kellerman Show as well as SiriusXM. And you can also check us out on the ESPN app.
Max.
All right. Axe Max time, huh? Darris in Texas. That's your name, Darris?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Darris. You're on the Dr. Darris. Pepper call-in line.
I heard you talking about New England, and you were saying that if they kept Jimmy G, they would be maybe in a couple of Super Bowls over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a 49er fan. Mm-hmm. I've been watching him for 4 years, and I'm not impressed.
Well, it's funny. He has that effect on people. You watch him, you go, I don't get it. Meantime, do you remember what your record was when he joined the team? Because I remember you couldn't buy a win. You went 5-0. Then he got hurt. Remember after he got hurt, what happened? Again, you couldn't buy a win. If he wasn't that good, then his replacement should be able to get a couple wins here and there. Then the following year, he was still hurt. You lost almost every game. Maybe you won 3 or 4 games. Then he came back. You won almost every game. Maybe you lost 3 or 4 games. You just, by the way, a Niners fan's like, Jimmy G's not that good. You think, are you crazy? You think the Pats would have gone to the Super Bowl with Jimmy G? Says a Niners fan who just went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy G. And by the way, had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Jay in San Diego, go.
Hey, thanks for your time. So I really think that we should consider trading Jimmy and maybe a 3rd or 2nd round pick for Gilmore.
I'll bet you Bill Belichick would do that too. He likes Jimmy G. And Gilmore's available for a 1st round pick. That's an interesting proposition if you really want to trade Jimmy G for some reason. Keyshawn ready to bench Cam? Coming up.